We continue the shiur in Gemara. Probably one of the most vital topics for us in our time is the story of Korach. Korach, about whom there's an entire chapter, the whole parasha of Chumash. Korach, who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, who he dared to incite a revolt by a group of a few hundred followers against Moshe Rabbeinu, against the Tzadik Emes. And the result was, as you know, the Chumash tells us, that a special death was prepared for them. The earth itself opened up its mouth and swallowed Korach and all his followers. We explained previously, Korach was a very wise person, very learned, extremely so. He was a pikeach, clever, shrewd man, very learned in Torah, but he was misled by his wife for one thing. Secondly, by his desire for kavod, for honor. Third, let's take the exact mistake of Korach. Let's analyze this because this is really interesting and timely. Korach really wanted what? Did he say that he wanted to take over the leadership from Moshe Rabbeinu? He did not. He didn't rebel to say, I want to become king. His words were, his exact words were, Ki cho ha'edo kulam kadoshim. All of the Jews are holy, all are alike. So in effect, what Korach wanted was equal rights for all Jews, equal rights for everyone. This was his claim. He was the first person to come out with this campaign for equal rights. What was his mistake? The mistake was he did not realize that equal rights is an impossibility, physical, moral impossibility. Hashem himself created the world. Hashem did not create the world equal. It is false and sinful and sacrilegious to say that all men are created equal. That is a lie. Fact is that there are leaders and there are followers. There must be leaders and there must be followers. Can you picture, for example, a revolt, a rebellion by a person's feet? A man's foot says, I want to be the head. Henceforth, I'll be on top. Let the head do the walking from now on. Why? Because equal rights. Who says the head should be on top all the time? Let's divide. This is a very logical point, following the pattern of Korach's argument. Or, as Hashem created the elements, Hashem created the solar system with the sun, the moon, the stars. What happened to equal rights there? Why doesn't the moon shine by day? Why doesn't the sun have its share of nighttime? Why don't the stars get their chance to shine brilliantly during the day, each one take his turn? Why should the sun be the sole lantern in the sky, the sole source of light and brilliance during the daytime, and the moon have to suffer during its stay at night when it's dark and when it's cold, as the moon's claim, he once mentioned the claim of the part of the moon. The fact is, though, that every one of these different parts of the solar system make up one organism, make up one body, one unit. Each one has its individual function. There cannot be all serving alike. There must be a king, there must be a general of the army, there must be private soldiers. We cannot have, chas v'shalom, equal rights among men and women. We cannot have the functions, the duties of a woman taken over by a man or vice versa. When the day will come that women will be able to influence men to give birth, then they can have their equal rights gladly, when that time comes. Meanwhile, Hashem created everything to be in its own place, to serve in its own way. Above all, not all men are the same. There are some that are superior, there are some that are wiser, there are some that are higher, there are some that are lower. There are leaders and there are slaves. There's no thing to say that a slave deserves equal rights, equal time. If one has been created to serve as a slave, That's his function in life. Do not rebel. You cannot have a horse say to its master, it's time that I rode on top of you for a while. So that this has nothing to do with the color line. Every person and every item in the world was created to serve a certain type of function. You cannot have equality throughout. This was the error, the mistake, the foolish act on the part of Korach, who said, Kol Ha'eda, every one of the Jews could be Rabbeinu. Everyone should be equally the same. There is only one Tzaddik Emes, Tzaddik Yesod Olam. Benazal explains that the Tzaddik, the foundation of the world, as the Zohar Kaddish describes, a vision that the Shimon Yochai once saw, going along when he said something that brought about an unusual degree of Simcha Kaviyachal in the upper heavens, to the Shekhinah itself. Because of this, he saw a vision, was revealed to him a vision of a pattern of designs of lights, and then he saw one pillar reaching from the earth to the heaven. And this pillar was the symbol of the Tzaddik Yesod Olam. This was the sixth sphere of Yesod. Yesod means the foundation, around which all the universe revolves. What is that one single pillar which holds up the entire universe, meaning not just the physical universe, this goes up to the heavens too. This is the Tzaddik Yesod, the foundation of all the other spheres. All these spheres, ki chol b'shamayim v'aretz. What does kol mean? All that is in heaven and earth is the Tzaddik. Kol is 50, as the five upper spheres are all included in the Yesod, who is the Tzaddik Yemes. Of course, ki chol b'gimatria Yesod. He is the Yesod who contains all the other spheres. The Tzaddik Yemes is one. And this, we find the Pasuk saying, Tzaddik Yesod Olam, this is the trunk. You have a lot of tzaddikim, a lot of great tzaddikim, tzaddikim etiyim who never committed sins in their life, who served Hashem diligently, devotedly, with all their heart, with all their soul, and gave their lives for Hashem. They are also pure tzaddikim. But they are like branches coming from the tree, emanating from the central tree trunk. These are the top tzaddikim, who still draw their nourishment from the center trunk. Why are they not as great as the Tzaddik Emes? Good question. Why wasn't Aaron HaKohen, Yeshua, why wasn't Chur the same as Moshe Rabbeinu? Because there's one Moshe Rabbeinu. There's one Tzaddik Emes at a time. In each generation there is one Tzaddik Emes, and at times there is one Tzaddik for a number of generations. But there can be only one Tzaddik at a time. And the other tzaddikim, no matter how great our branches are, anufim, branches that come from this central tree trunk. There are still smaller ones, those tzaddikim that are still tinier, but tzaddikim are like twigs coming from these branches, and then there are leaves and buds coming from these twigs. Smaller tzaddikim until we come to the regular hamayna, to the weeds. Everything still nourishes, still receives its life, its nourishment, from the central roots of this tzaddik. You say the foundation of the whole item, the whole world. This is what Korach failed to understand. Korach's failure was due to the fact, the same question, based on the same question, as you recall the goy who came to Shammai to convert. He came to Shammai Gavert and said to him, one of the three who came and said to Shammai Hazokain, I will accept your religion, your faith, I will do you a favor, but on one condition, that you make me Kohen Gadol. If I am a Jew Kohen Gadol, I accept the faith. To become an ordinary Kohen, let alone a layman of Israel, never. I want to become a Jew, you'll have one more Jew, but Kohen Gadol, I take over everything in the Beis HaMikdash. This was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. I want to go into the Holy of Holies, and there to serve when no one else enters. Shammai Hazokin took his cane, and with one blow, this guy went flying. He went flying to challenge Shammai's colleague, Hillel, Hazokin. He walked into Hillel Hazokin and said to him, gave him the same challenge. I offer you my membership as a Jew, in the Jewish faith. Look at me. How proud you'd be to have me too. Hillel said, good. He said, but one condition. I want to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to enter into the Kodesh Kodeshim on Yom Kippur. He waited for a reply. Hillel Zuckerman said, I accept your condition. And as chief rabbi of the Jews, my word is binding. Come. So he walked inside. He was amazed. He got more than he bargained for. He's really going to be the Kohen Gadol. He walked inside that Holy of Holies. In that room, of course, there's no one there. Were what was seen in that room, actual visions of heaven, Gan Eden. It was indescribable. Only the Kohen Gadol was able to be that pure to see this part of heaven. So he was up and sat down with this guy, this one who wanted to become a Ger. He sat down and said to him, let's first study your duties as Kohen Gadol. You're a Kohen Gadol, you have to know what you're supposed to do there. I said, fine. He sat down and studied the dinim about the Kohen Gadol, the big day Kohen Gadol, the clothes he wears. And going to the psukim of the Torah, Torah says that any stranger who enters into that room shall die. Any stranger. Stranger means a Jew, not just a goy. The goy looked at that and said, who does that mean? Who does that imply? He was looking and said, this implies great David HaMelech, King David, the king of all kings, the head of all the Jews, the purest, the author of the Sefer Tehillim, the author of the source of our prayers. If he goes into the Holy of Holies, he dies. And this guy, this Ger, heard this. He felt very sheepish, very ashamed of himself. It's true he had been a smart aleck, but they go so far as to demand something which the great King David couldn't get at the risk of his life, he should ask for. He felt very penitent and said to Hillel HaZaken, I appreciate very much your friendship on my behalf, your warmth in accepting me, but may I retreat from my demands. I'd like to accept the faith without this stipulation. Hillel said, fine, I'll do that too. We'll take you. This point is again something that Korach overlooked. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. All Jews are alike. Every Jew should have the right to enter into the Kodesh Kodeshim. But they don't have that right. Look at one of the top Jews. One of the four parts of the throne of Hashem. The four legs. The fourth leg of the throne of Hashem is David HaMelech. The three fathers of the Jews, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and David, are the four parts of the Merkava. Fourth leg of the throne of Hashem, so holy and so great, that the father of Mashiach, he'd walk into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodeshim, he dies. Every Jew is alike. Perhaps he's much bigger than the Kohen Gadol. And yet, this is a rule. The Kohen Gadol can be there, King David cannot. Because all men are not alike. They are not created equal. They are not equal through life. This mistake was Kodesh, and of course he paid for this mistake. We have to realize again for ourselves the truth. The true fact is that there is a difference, and that difference, one who recognizes that difference, is a person who is really good and pure. Because then that person possesses something which is either above Teda, or which precedes Teda. He has the quality of Derech Eretz, of respect for elders, for superiors. He does not say, I'm as good as the next person. I am not as good. I am inferior. I must bow to their wisdom, to their leadership, their guidance. And this we find even in our tefillahs, our basic tefillahs, tefillah of the Havdolah. Havdolah means that Hashem created the world with separations. Hamavdil bein kodesh lechol, Hashem separated between holy and ordinary. They are not alike. They are not created alike. One is created holy and one is ordinary. Bein yemashvi, between the Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. You can never compare the two. 6 days of the week are ordinary. A person can sit and do something which is very nice of him doing. He's sewing a garment for the sake of a poor man. Doing the same thing on Shabbos means death. It's a malacha, work on Shabbos. Because the Shabbos queen is different than these subjects. 6 days of the week are her subjects, and the Shabbos is the queen. The same difference between light and darkness. Would it be nice if darkness would say, let light be like me? Let them both be dark, equal rights, everything dark, a dark world. That's what we'd have if we had equal rights. There'd be darkness throughout. Therefore, the key then is to recognize these differences, to recognize them with respect, with acknowledgement, and with the knowledge too, that nobody will ever be able to persuade us otherwise, even at the expense of our lives, that we are not the same as other nations. Ben Yisrael La'amin, we live with this, and Jews are ready to die for this. Jews are not the same as Goyim. They will not surrender their faith, no matter what the price. Throughout all these centuries, the Jews remained alive because they died for their religion. Today, the Jews are just as powerful as they were spiritually thousands of years ago, while the biggest nations, the biggest empires have disintegrated because they did not have the spirit. They were not born Jews. They were Amim. They were Goyim. Jews are the chosen people by Hashem. This we believe, this we live with, and this we shall live with forever. Because Hashem is eternal, and the Jews are part of Hashem, just as the Torah is. Now, the children of Korach, he had children who were good. And it could be that they helped Korach. Eventually, we said that Ezel explains that Korach will come out of Gehenna. He will eventually, the coming of Mashiach, rise up to Gan Eden. This will require, of course, the actions of Moshe Rabbeinu to save him. But two, the zechus of his children, because the children of Korach, the pasuk says, "Bnei Korach lo meisu," they did not die. They did tshuva, and we find their songs of praise to Hashem in the Tillim, "Amnatzayach levnei Korach." Their songs of praise to Hashem, the fact that their tshuva was accepted and they were saved just in time. Of course, there is a bitter note there. This is the true fact, but there's also a drush which the Sforim maintain, that the act of Korach was not a unique case. It was not an individual case. It was not the last of its kind. Throughout all generations, never was there an exception. In each generation, we find that there is a new Korach born to rebel against the Tzadikemes of that time. There has never been a generation where the Tzadikemes was alone and free without someone to revolt against them. Pasuk says, "Bnei Korach leimesu." Children of Korach, the descendants of Korach did not die. They are alive in every single generation. Throughout all generations, we find the best of times. Shimri Choizal had someone rebelled against him and nearly cost him his life. He was forced to go into seclusion, to hiding 13 years in a special cave, which of course was a blessing. He came out as the leading tzaddik of the world, authoring the Zohar Kodesh. But still, this was due to an act by one who rebelled. Throughout all the generations, through the Rizal had enemies, the Baal Shem Tov, Baal Shem HaKodesh, had those who were willing to defame him, willing to put him in chedim, chas v'shalom. And of course, it goes without saying that the one who suffered most from controversy, from antagonism, was Rabbeinu Zal and Ibn Zal. The days of Yemei HaKloyes, Ibn Zal, who was undoubtedly the greatest Balmides, the kindest person that could exist. His kindness, his chesed, his anivus was unparalleled. And yet he had enemies, so-called religious enemies, very religious ones, who were out to kill him, out to kill his followers. Kill, literally, murder. That's inconceivable. It's incredible. But it is the fact, B'nai Korach Leimesu. All generations you have these leaders. Korach was a very wise person, a great leader. There were great rebbes, Hasidic rebbes, who turned against Rabbeinu Zal's followers with such a bitterness, with such venom, they wanted to actually destroy them, to swallow them alive like these serpents would. But throughout all generations, Hashem does not allow the tzaddik to fall into the hands of the rasha. Hashem lo yazrenu biyadai. Hashem ultimately saves the tzaddik from the hands of these rishoyim, so that eventually, in all cases, we never find that a tzaddik was swallowed up by a rasha. Despite all the odds against the Nosselzel, thousands against one, Yin was the Nosselzel was nostalgic with the greatest covet. His worst misnagdim came to his funeral crying, pouring out their hearts, begging for mechila, for forgiveness what they had done. Same with all the cases of these kodachs. The Gemara says, tells us a story which we have had recently, but we must repeat the story since the Gemara itself repeats it. If the Gemara finds it important enough to repeat this story so close to its former place, then it certainly is only right for us to repeat it too. Plus, of course, there's always something new in the Tanya. The Gemara says that Korach was swallowed up in the desert, and the place where he was swallowed up was not known, seemingly not known. However, he was Rabbi Bar Bachona, one of the rabbis in the Gemara, was once walking along in the desert, and a wanderer, a tayyar, a Turkish businessman, a Turkish merchant, of course this is a disguise. Turkish merchant, the Benedel says, always means either a tzaddik or Eliyahu Navi, some great tzaddik in disguise. Came to Rabbi Bachona and said to him, "Come, follow me. I will show you the spot where the earth opened up and swallowed Kedach. You'll see something strange there. When the earth swallowed Kedach, where did it bring Kedach to? Where did it lead him to? Of course, to Gehenna, to the fires of Gehenna, where he must pay for his crime." Amachana says, relates that he came to this spot and he saw sort of a slight aperture, an opening in the surface of the earth, and smoke coming from this place. This guide said to Rabbi Bachona, the stranger said to him, "Bend down, bend your ear to the ground, and listen closely." Rabbi Bachona did this, he says, and he heard sounds of screaming of Kedach and his followers. He made out the words. Their words were, "Meshe emes v'taydosai emes v'anachnu badoyin." Meshe Rabbeinu is emes, true. The Torah he taught us is true, and we are liars. We are false. Rabbi Chana got up and he was amazed at this point, and this stranger said to him, "This sound you just heard is a sound that comes from this ground once every 30 days, because there is the revolution of the Gehenna, which turns and comes back to its same spot every 30 days, comes back to this spot here. Each 30 days, if you bend down, you can hear the sound of Kedach and its followers crying in Gehenna because they are being burnt there for their sin." This 30 days, of course, means, Abedazel will explain this to mean, it means the Shchedesh. On the Shchedesh, there is a special kind of Gehenna, much worse than the fires of Gehenna. Because on that day, like on Shabbos, the fires of Gehenna are banked. They are shut off. There's no fire there. What then? Is it a rest for the Rishonim? It is not, because something much worse than that, and that is suddenly the busha, the embarrassment, comes to the fore. They are embarrassed. They must confess their crimes. And this is what happens on the Shchedesh, which is the day of tshuva. So they confess their sins as tshuva, though the Shoim generally stick to their contentions, their evil. They refuse to confess even in Gehenna itself. And there are some Mefarshim we explained once, if you recall, who asked this question. Since the Gemara says that the Shoim are so stubborn, they refuse to give in, even when they come to Gehenna, they still refuse to even admit that they were wrong. And that evil, how come that here Kedach and his followers admit their crime, admit the truth? The answer is that even then they do not admit it. They are forced to say these words, but they're said in a tricky form. Notice the wording. They say Meisha emes v'teira say emes. Meisha emes is true and his teira is true. Anachnu ba'doim, we are lying when we say that. We are liars. What we just said, that's for sure. This is the facts about Rishon. Now note that this is a true story. This is a story in the Gemara, and as the Mefarshim say, this physically took place. That means then, imagine then that there is some type of a connection. Amazing to say it, but a physical connection between heaven and earth, between Gehenna and earth. There we have an earthly emanation of the spiritual in the Shemus, the souls in Gehenna, which can be heard physically on this earth. Now that's very hard for a person to accept, right? To think that we can make contact with the dead, hear their voices, difficult to accept that, except those, of course, who believe in seances and so on, those false items. So it would be difficult to accept, but for the fact that the Gemara says so. Since the Gemara says so, we believe implicitly that it is so. He mentioned then, this is written, story of a very great tzaddik in Europe who had a strong following, who believed in him very strongly, very firmly, and his word was law. One day he traveled to this desert. He came upon this spot, exactly at this spot on the 30th day. He heard these sounds, these voices. He came back and said, I now challenge all those skeptics, the atheists, because I will not testify to the fact that I myself have heard these sounds, these voices. That should put them in their place. Of course, people want to be very honest, so all those who had doubts now became believers, or at least they believed this point. Years went by, and this tzaddik was lying on his deathbed. He called on his followers. They began to cry very bitterly. And they said to him, our rabbi, why do you cry? In just a few moments, you're going to reach the exalted position, the highest position in Gan Eden. The tzaddik as great as you, what are you afraid of? Better than having this a low place in this world. He replied, I'm afraid that I will never get to Gan Eden. I fear I have lost my place in Gan Eden because of an error I committed. An error that is so serious that it could override all the mitzvahs I've ever done. They were shocked. Was he about to confess some unusual type of sin? He said, my crime was that I reported my experience in this desert. I told about the fact that I heard with my ears the sounds of Kedach and his followers. Because this meant that people would believe me more than they believed the word of Hashem in the Torah. To dare to testify on behalf of Hashem's words in the Torah, there's no bigger crime than that. The Torah does not need my testimony to verify its words. I never should have said that. The word of Hashem is sufficient. The word of Hashem is emes. The Torah of Hashem is emes, the truth. I regret that I ever testified to this fact, because I should never have said I consent or I will bring proof. Of course, this is the lesson for us. We have to learn the true meaning of emunah. Of emunah shlema. Solid, true emunah. Solid, true emunah means that we never need ask for any kind of proof. No visual proof, no audible proof, no written proof at all. If the Torah says something, it means that it is Hashem himself speaking to us. Hashem is the truth and the only truth. And therefore, whatever the Gemara says, being the word of Hashem, is 100% emes. So we believe implicitly the words of Abba Vachona, that every 30 days, at that spot, exactly, the sounds of Kodach's and his followers' voices come from the ground, saying those exact words. If we never see that, we don't need the sight of it or to hear it. We don't need it at all to confirm our beliefs. The words of the Gemara alone are sufficient because they are the words of Hashem. Next case, the Gemara tells us about the groups who did not get to Gan Eden. Those who remained in Gehinnom permanently, the Gemara says there is a debate about a group called the Dayan HaMidbar, generation that lived during those 40 years in the desert under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. They had committed a sin for which they paid with their lives. They could never get to Eretz Yisrael. Every single Jew, except two, Yeshua and Kalev, everyone from the age of 20 to 60 died during those 40 years in the desert. Now, they died because of the Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. They listened to the spies with the evil report, and their penalty was death. The question is, they died. Did they ever get to Gan Eden afterwards? On this there is a machlokas, a debate. Rabbi Akiva says there is no part for them in Olam Haba. They have nothing in Olam Haba because they go to Gehenna forever. Why? Because the pasuk says, Hashem nishbati v'api, we have it in the Petel Tum Chunana, Hashem says, I have sworn in my anger that what? They will never come, will come in the Chosi to my place of rest, to Eretz Yisrael. Never. Never means even in the future, after the coming of Mashiach, after Tchias HaMesim, it will never rise up again. This Rabbi Akiva says, and Rabbi Eliezer says, I disagree. Because the meaning of this is Hashem Ishbati V'Api. Hashem says, I want you to know that I swore they would never get to Eretz Yisrael, but I did it V'Api in anger. And when one is in anger, that cannot be taken seriously. I may withdraw that statement, and therefore I say now, Hashem says, now that I've been appeased by the tshuva, by the repentance, the generation of the Midbar will get to Gan Eden, will get to Eretz Yisrael eventually. This is the machlokes of Akiva and Elazar Gom. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, how pitiful it is that Rabbi Akiva, who is known as Hachosid, a chosid who is so kind, so pure, who is so great a leader, who is so has so much compassion for the low, downtrodden, poor type of person, for the layman. How pitiful that he has become so stern and so severe. He has dropped his chassidism, his kindness, and he has turned to a vengeful type of nature. Why should he be more strict than Rabbi Elazar HaGadol? Why shouldn't he regard the Jews in the Midbar, that generation, with pity, try to help them, and try to translate the words to have them to show proof according to the Torah, they too get Gan Eden? Especially for this reason. We could bring proof from a pasuk. Pasuk says, Koyomar Hashem, Hashem says, Achati lo chesed nirayach. I will always remember the goodness when you were young, when the people, the Jews as a people, as a nation were young, which means they first came out of Egypt, they were first molded into a nation then. Lechtech acharayach b'midbar. I recall the days, Hashem says, when you followed me in the desert. Eretz Lo Yizru, a land where there was nothing growing, no vegetation at all. You followed me with such purity, with such devotion, that therefore I will always remember you. You'll always be mine. You'll be mine, Hashem is speaking to whom? To us, generations later. So Hashem says to us today, and to Jews in all generations, you are my people because your ancestors were devoted to me in the desert. They were very close to me, they followed me throughout the entire years in the desert. Which means that the zechus of the Dayan HaMidbar was so great that all future generations will benefit from them. That's a kal vachomer. If we, who did not follow Hashem then, will benefit from their actions, then kol shekein shui, they too will benefit. We must say that they will receive Gan Eden, eventual reward, and get to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the question is, how could the Rabbi Akiva leave, drop his kindness, his goodness, and seem to attack with such vengeance a whole generation of Jews, especially a generation who should be Rabbi Akiva's own, because that Deir HaMidbar was the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, who were his students. The closest one to Moshe Rabbeinu was Rabbi Akiva. He explained once, the reason I'll explain is that the word Rabbi Akiva shows him to be the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Akiva, the middle letters are Yabek, the highest name of Hashem. Hashem Elikim, Begimati Yabek, is called Shmo Shlim. Highest combination of Hashem's names, Hashem Elikim, is the total of Yabek, 112. The outside letters, Ayin and Aleph, is the 71 Sanhedrin, the great Sanhedrin. And he is equal to all 71 Sanhedrin combined. He, like Moshe Rabbeinu. How could he turn against the Talmidim, the close ones, the Moshe Rabbeinu, for whom Moshe Rabbeinu sacrificed his life and himself? He was buried in the desert to be close to his students. Why did Rabbi Akiva turn away? The answer the first explain is that, of course, Rabbi Akiva never lost his chassidus, his goodness, his kindness, his superior attitude of compassion and pity, chesed and achman for all Jews, just as Moshe Rabbeinu, that I am the Himmler, the pure shepherd. And so Rabbi Akiva's words were, the Deir HaMidbar has no chelik in Olam Haba, meaning that they do not have to receive a chelik. Who receives a chelik? One who is in this world, along with the Degen, has to go to Olam Haba to achieve the highest status. This Deir HaMidbar never was out of Olam Haba. What they saw with their eyes, the miracles of Hashem, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzadikim with their eyes, actual sight, for them they lived Olam Haba here. They don't need a part Olam Haba. So Rabbi Akiva, on the contrary, speaks about them in such glowing terms, with such a closeness, such a feeling of warmth, and says, this generation you're asking about the Olam Haba, they are superior to all other generations. They are the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the meaning of the words that Yochanan said, Rabbi Akiva has lost his goodness, his kindness? Why? Such words as he said. The answer Rabbi Akiva meant was that Rabbi Akiva has said words that could be misleading, because he was so enraptured with the greatness of this generation that he said things that might mislead others to think this generation is so low they might have lost their Olam Haba, their Gan Eden. But in actuality, there was no such thought on the part of Akiva. He did maintain throughout that this generation, Talmidim Moshe Rabbeinu, and in a sense, like his own Talmidim, like his own 24,000 Talmidim, note the similarity. Moshe Rabbeinu said, wherever they are buried, I'll be buried too. The whole discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem about going to Eretz Yisrael was a side item. Actually, he buried together with his people. These were his people, and Rebbe belongs to his Talmidim. In fact, you find that the Gemara in Makkos, that if a student has to go to Golos, the Rebbe goes to Golos with the student. The student commits murder, accidentally. He's excused, but he must go into exile. Why should the Rebbe suffer because of that? The answer is because the Rebbe wants that. The Rebbe wants to be with his student always. A student goes to Golos or go to, with the student to Golos. If the Jews in the Midbar had to stay in the Midbar, buried there, rather than enter Eretz Yisrael, the holiest land, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to be with my Talmidim. Why? After all, he remained there in the desert under the sand. He's going up to heaven, to Shemayim, to Gan Eden. In fact, even in the sense of burial, his lady kind of says that he's Moshe Rabbeinu actually is in the Miyadah Samach Pela, together with the Aves Hakdesh. But the reason is then that he's buried there because when the time comes for Tchiyas HaMeisim, I want to rise up with my Talmidim. Those are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to be with them throughout the time comes to rise up, which means that they will have Olam Haba and Tchiyas HaMeisim. And this is what the Mekiva said too. And his Talmidim, for an act, a misdeed on their part, they failed to extend the proper courtesy and friendship one to the other. A plague broke out, a disease that destroyed their lives. 24,000 tzaddikim, his students, every one of them, to the last man died, there were no survivors. 24,000 of them all died, and all died from a very horrible type of plague. Plague where they choked to death. Ascara, the worst type of disease. And despite that, when they were buried, the Bekiva said, I want to be buried with them. I could be buried near Meir Balanes, near my Talmud, in Meiron, in Yerushalayim. I want to be buried in Tiberia on the same mountain as my 24,000 Talmidim. That's where Rabbi Akiva was buried. So reminiscent of a case of Meshi Rabbeinu, because this is the meaning of a Yedaya Mehemna, a true leader. In this case, we can understand slightly, we dare not venture into this point, we can understand very slightly, the thought of passing remark, a thought about the Ben Azal's desire to be buried in Umar. Again, he could have had himself transported to Eretz Yisrael or to a large city, very large city, Kiev, one of the major cities. Ben Azal said, I want to be with these students who need me most. Students means those who are followers. Even if they are not alive, they are still followers. They are buried there. After all, the dead men who died before Moshe Rabbeinu. They were already buried, then why not meet them up in heaven? He said, I want to be with them physically buried there. And this was the case of the Ben Azal. He said, I want to be with my followers in Umar, where there were 50,000 Kadeshim, 50,000 Jews, who had given their lives, who had died, who were killed for the sake of their religion. And with these Kadeshim, these holy souls, the Ben Azal wanted to remain buried. That's why to this day, even if the question arises about moving certain bodies to Eretz Yisrael, in this case there's no question about it. Ben Azal's desire was to remain in Oman until Mashiach comes, Tchias HaMeisim. Of course, Ben Azal's chus is so great that it extends far more than just Oman. Everywhere that a Jew is assembled and speaks the name of Ben Azal, Ben Azal's spirit is there to hover, to protect, to bless. Especially in Adam Habla, and his powers are much greater. Ben Azal had the power to say, a person who is with me, who is my follower, I will personally protect him and save him in Adam Habla. Speaking about all these sufferings of Gehenna, eternal sufferings, Chas HaShalom, different types of punishments, penalties, all these, Ben Azal has the power to save a person from, if that person is a true Ma'amin, believer in the Tzaddik Emes. And that is undoubtedly the most important lesson, the Yesod, the foundation. What is the foundation of the world? Tzaddik Yesod Elam. He is the foundation of the world, and the world means every single person. Each person is called an Elam. The foundation for each person is, his salvation, his security, is the Tzaddik. And that tzaddik, a person can live with only if he has emunah. The tzaddik, the emunah so yichyeh. One who has emunah in him, and the tzaddik, yichyeh, that person will live when this is not living here. Living means forever. Eternal life can be gotten by a person who has that pure emunah shlema in the tzaddik emes. Let's hope that we are zecha b'yemes, b'yemes in truth, to this emunah shlema in the tzaddik emes, the Ben Azal, who was the tzaddik emes, in the Tzadikim Mitim, in the words of the Torah Kedesha, that every single word of the Torah is the word of Hashem and is Emes. With this we shall live now and forever after us. This Sechus which we have to see with our eyes, the coming of Mashiach of Kenu, Mashiach ben David, the rebuilding of the Beis Mikdash by Hashem, from Heda, Amen, Yamen.
Amen.